Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to Sanctuary in Jena, Louisiana. We are here to be a refuge for the broken. I'm Pastor Heath Harris, and we are excited to grow in the knowledge of Jesus with you. Now let's go deep into the Word today. Amen. I want to talk to you about power for a purpose. Somebody say power, and somebody say purpose. All right, I need two guys real quick, just some manly men, all right? Let me just have some manly men. John, you're a manly man. Come here. Look at this. We already jumped up. Come on. All right, Bo, and all right, you don't have to stand there. Just stay right there. All right, we're going to have a little race, okay? I've got for those who are listening online, I've got a 4x4 block with two screws in it, all right? All right, hold that right there. You got your Phillips head. All right, and we're going to see who can, I got something for you, Bo, who can get this unscrewed from this block as fast as we can. All right, are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. All right, so, Bo, you're going to take that drill, and my man, on your mark, get set, go. Come on. Boom. Now, what's the matter? You couldn't do it.
You wasn't equipped.
Amen. Give these guys a hand. Hey. Somebody say, working with power. Come on, working with power is better. Working with power is better. I need all the Tim the Toolman Taylor people to give a grunt, right? Working with power is better. And that's what is true in the physical, but also in the spiritual. It's not that we couldn't do it, but in the time that is limited, working with power is better. And today, with limited amount of time to reach the world before Jesus Christ comes back, working with power is better. Working with power is better. In order to accomplish the purpose that Christ has given us before he returns, we need to use the power that he's given. Maybe today you are trying hard to be a Christian, but you lack the strength to live it out. Maybe today you felt like you should be doing more for Jesus, more for Christ, but you really don't know what or maybe how. And maybe when you read Scripture and you look at your life, because this was my testimony, that I read Scripture and I saw, man, I'm not living what I'm reading out. There's got to be more to this Christian life than what I see. I mean, I look at the church, I grew up in church, and I saw it, and I'm like, what I see today is not what I read about in Acts, in Corinthians, in the New Testament. I don't see. This isn't matching up. And so I'm asking myself, maybe I'm missing something. There's two problems. Number one is the purpose of the gospel is to reconcile men to Christ. And without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that's simply not possible. Christianity just becomes good counseling. It becomes good teaching, good doctrine, good knowledge, but it lacks the ability. It lacks the ability to change a personality, to change a behavior. If it just becomes something without power, we need the Holy Spirit to live like him. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's not just to have some good teaching and good song services and things like this. We need God's power to have his purpose. And secondly, the power of the gospel is to reach men for Christ. So the purpose of the gospel is to reconcile men to Christ, but the power of the gospel is to reach men for Christ. It's to go get them and have the ability to do that. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, you wear out in working. You lack the wisdom you need to be a witness. We get defeated, perhaps, by the demonic. We'll burn out through battles. We'll be overcome by opposition. And we'll never move mountains miraculously. We need the Holy Spirit not just to live in Christ, but to walk like Christ. So there's a purpose and a power, and I need the Holy Spirit for his purpose to convict and convince the world of sin, and I need the Holy Spirit to walk out this life in the way that God has called me to walk it out. And simply put, to live out Christ's purpose for your life requires you to have Christ's power in you. To live out Christ's purpose for your life requires you to have Christ's power in you. There is a power for a purpose. There is a power for a purpose, and working with power is better. Working with power is better. So look with me in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, power for a purpose. And I'm going to read in the New American Standard. I'm going to give you three others so you can just see it in four different translations here. Colossians 1, verse 28. Here's what the Apostle Paul, writing to the people of Colossae, says. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, verse 29. For this purpose, here we go. Somebody say purpose again. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Purpose for a power. But listen to it in the ESV. For this toil I struggle with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Or what about New King James? To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works mightily in me. Or how about NIV? All right. To this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I love this verse. This is one of my favorite. This energy, here's what Paul is saying, and he's kind of taking us back to Jesus Christ. Let's just kind of think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus was born with a purpose to be the anointed one. Anointed one is Christ. It means Messiah. Christ means anointed one. It's the word for Savior. He's the anointed one. He's that prophesied messianic king who would come with a spirit without measure. And he came for a purpose, to seek and save that which was lost, to reconcile men back to God. That's his purpose. But from the very beginning, he had a power and ability to do that. He was born by the Holy Spirit. He was raised up in wisdom through the Spirit. He was baptized into water, and the Spirit came upon him mightily. And he went out and he ministered by the Holy Spirit. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And God used him powerfully. And that power demonstrated his purpose. If he didn't do all the things, if he didn't walk on water and raise the dead and heal lepers and all that, we might wonder whether or not he was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. But he had a power to confirm that purpose. And here's what Acts said in chapter 10, verse 38 about him. It said that power confirmed it. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Two types of anointing, he says, and power. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, but he was also anointed with power by the Spirit. And he says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He gets to this moment, he's got this purpose, he's got this power. He comes to his disciples right before he goes to heaven. He says, I'm going to go to the Father, and I want you to go into the world, into all the nations, and make disciples, Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And he says, I want you to go. In John chapter 20, verse 22, it says he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. But in Luke, it says he tells them to wait. Wait until you receive the power. He says power is going to come upon you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:8. There's going to be this power that comes upon you. He says in Acts 1:4, you'll be immersed with the Holy Spirit. You'll receive power when he comes upon you. Why does he do this? Because they needed his power to live out his purpose. He's going to give them this messianic commission to go to the world, to come against kings and queens and governments and traverse oceans and go across mountains and go to prisons, and some are going to be beheaded and filleted alive, and some are going to go be boiled in oil. And he says, you're going to need some power to get this done, because the time is short, just like this illustration we gave. There may be the ability for you to do some of this, but because this agenda is so big, this call is so big, you can't do it alone. You need me. So I'm going to give you the power to do it. All right, are you with me? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, but what does it have to do with me, Pastor? Well, they needed his power to accomplish his purpose, and so do we today. So number one is purpose. What is the purpose of your life? Let's just be honest. Just pause for a second. What is, someone asks you on the street, what's the purpose of your life? What's your chief aim before you die? What's the goal that you have set in your mind that this is what I want to do before I die? This is where I want to get to. This is what I want to accomplish. What on this earth are you living for? What drives you? What orders your passions? What sets your priorities? What can interrupt your schedule at any moment? You say, well, my baby calls me at 3 a.m. It don't matter what's going on, I'm going. You know, I mean, that some of us are kids, they can interrupt our schedule. But listen, what sets the tone for your life? Paul, in this verse, he says, for this purpose I also labor, I strive. He says there was serious hard work. Number one is purpose, serious hard work. For this purpose, to this end, for this reason, I labor, I toil, I strenuously contend. He saw it was worth me getting snake bit and shipwrecked for. This purpose was worth me being beaten and thrown off a cliff and left for dead, getting right back up the next day and walking right back into the same town and doing it all over again. For this purpose, I strenuously toil. The Greek word there is to labor with wearing out. I wear out for this purpose. This purpose. Why? There was something that happened to the Apostle Paul that needs to happen to every person. He says, it was this reason that I would proclaim, I would warn, I would admonish, I would teach to present every person complete and mature in Christ. Why? Because he saw who Jesus is. There was a moment in his life on a road to Damascus where he had a true, authentic revelation, Holy Spirit encounter with Christ. He saw him, scales will fall off of his eyes later, and he will change him for the rest of his life. Paul was born again. He was changed from one man into another man. It was a revelation. It wasn't a good doctrinal lesson. It wasn't an emotional appeal. It wasn't a cool praise band with some good lights and some fog machines. It was a true, authentic encounter with the living God that opened his eyes to a new revelation of who Jesus was. He says, for this purpose, I contend, I strive, I will wear myself out. For this and this alone. You see, it's a spiritual revelation, this purpose. It's a hard work, but it's a spiritual work. Paul said, if I labor by my own effort, if I do it by my own intellect, if I do it by my own speaking ability, people's faith might rest in man rather than the power of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. This is what he says. He says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, when I was with you, it was in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. In Ephesians, he says, I pray for my church to have a spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of the revelation of him. What is he saying? He says, guys, I'm doing my part. Listen, I'm a Christian. I've met Christ. And because I've met Christ, it has motivated, moved me to burn out for him, to give all for him, to go all in for him, because I had a true, authentic encounter with him. He says, for this purpose, I'll labor, I'll contend, I'll go the distance, I'll give everything up, count everything as loss, as rubbish, for the sake of the knowledge of gaining him, to attain the thing that attained me, to press on and push on, to get a hold of him, because he got a hold of me. He says, I'll give everything up for this. He says, but I don't do it out of my own intellect, out of my own PhD in ministry, out of my own speaking ability. It's not doing it through emotional appeals. He says, I came with trembling and fear. I came not in my own ability, because Paul's got a great ability. Paul's one of the leading Bible teachers in the world. And he says, but I needed the Holy Spirit to give a revelation to you like he gave a revelation to me. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He says in John, he says, it would be the Holy Spirit that would convict the world of sin and draw men to Christ. So what am I saying? For this purpose and this power, this first part is the purpose. Maybe today you feel like you're here. I made it to church, Pastor. I'm going, I'm trying. Yeah, but is there this thing in you that you are contending for? Is there this revelation that has so captivated you that you will sell out for? Jesus says, you're going to have to choose one day, some of y'all, between family, where your family's going to turn you in. He says, this has to be greater. You got to hate your family in view of this thing that I'm talking about. You've got to be willing to leave your jobs and leave your nets, disciples, and crucify yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Why would anybody leave a good-paying job to follow a homeless guy for 3 years? Think about it. His father Zebedee owned the boat. They were the biggest fishing thing. They had extra boats. They had a whole crew. They left it in a moment and followed him. Why? They had a revelation of who he is. So that's my question. Have you been so captivated by Christ's purpose for your life to say, I understand, I have seen him there. I've seen him there nailed to that cross. I've seen my sin in him and on him nailed there for him, for me, that he would die for me, that it was my sin that nailed him there. It was my sin that he bore. It was my shame. It was my suffering. And I identify with Christ, and I've come to this cross. I've come to this place. I see that God was so willing to reconcile the world to man, men to God, that he was willing to give his own son to die a sinner's death, paid that price for me. And so now I am willing to go to that place with him, to go to that cross and find myself lost and undone, changed in a moment by his blood. I think maybe today we need to repent as an American church of tradition, of religion, of going through the motions, of trying to do this thing by our own work, and trying to think that if I can just do enough churchy stuff, I'll make heaven, and this will be good enough for God. Paul says, you don't understand. For this purpose, it's a purpose worth laboring and striving and burning out for. And sometimes we have a hard enough time just going to church once a month, or twice a month, or talking to our neighbors when they approach us. And he says, guys, it was something that captivated me about him. It was a revelation that the Holy Spirit and I had. And maybe today you have knowledge of Jesus, but you haven't had a true revelation of him. Maybe my heart is hard. Maybe it's grown callous. Maybe I once had it, but it's a dim revelation now. And maybe today God is asking you to come back to this moment of the cross and see him for who he is. King of kings and Lord of lords. A fresh revelation of Jesus. That's the purpose. For this purpose. Second is power. See, if you don't get the purpose part, you can just pause there and wait to the end of the service till the altar call, because the power is for the purpose. There's a power that comes for this, and that's the job to do. We have a purpose to help God reconcile the world to him, but we need his ability to do it. So Paul uses two words. I'm going to be quick. He says the first word is energy. It's power. In the Greek, the word power there in those translations, it means literal energy. It was a Holy Spirit energy. He says, in my own strength, I'm wearing out. I'm going thin. I'm working. My hands are bleeding. My back is on fire of all the things I've done for Jesus. But there is this Holy Spirit energy on the inside of me that is moving me and moving me. It's the thing driving me. It's not my power. It's Holy Spirit power. It's energy on the inside of me. And he says, in this energy, literal word energy, is the thing that's working mightily in me. And that word mightily is the word dunamis. It's the word that we would translate later for dynamic or dynamite. It's a power for energy. So it's a powerful energy, a dynamic energy. And he says, this Holy Spirit energy is the thing that is driving me ahead. It's a power. And the question is, do you and I have Holy Spirit energy, power on the inside of us working mightily? So you think about a police officer. He's commissioned to protect and serve and to protect the community, to have authority to make arrests and do things like that, right? Pull you over when you're only not really speeding because you never speed, right? He's pulling you over. But here's the deal. He's commissioned. He can have the best tactical firearms training in the world. But if they don't issue him any bullets for his weapon, if he lacks the ammunition, he lacks the power, and guess what happens? The enemy doesn't much care. The enemy doesn't much care. He can have all the knowledge, but if he lacks the power to do his job, the enemy doesn't much care. I think that's where we are today in the church. We can have all the knowledge of Jesus, all the knowledge of what he does and who he is and what he's come to do, seek and save the lost. Praise God, hallelujah. But we lack the power to get the job done in time before he comes. We lack the power to advance the gospel into enemy territory. Let me give you some examples. You know, God has never given a man a purpose without giving him the power to live it out. God has never given a man a purpose without giving him the power to live it out. You don't get the purpose without the power. Those are together, because God's not going to do that. So give me an example. One is this moment with Moses and the 70 elders. Moses is like, oh God, I'm wearing out. I'm wearing thin. I can't lead all these people. He says, well, I'll give that power that's on you to 70 other men with you, so bring them here. Moses brings in Numbers 11, brings the 70 elders with him, and the Holy Spirit comes out of the tabernacle, comes onto the 70 elders. They're filled with wisdom to lead the people. They're filled with power and prophecy to speak forth the word of God. And Moses' burden is alleviated. There was a purpose to lead the people, and God gave the power to do it. So let me give you another example. There was Samson. Israel's fallen away from God, and they're under the pain of the Philistines. And God comes upon this young man named Samson. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson mightily. It's the same word, mightily power. Holy Spirit, mighty, dynamic power came upon Samson. So much so, the Bible says, all right, get this, man. He tackled a lion with his bare hands and ripped it apart. That's literally what the Bible says. Now, that dude is a man. But it's because the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. And that Spirit would come upon him every single time he needed to do something to advance for his kingdom. The same is true for David. When God sought a new king in 1 Samuel 16, the Spirit of God came upon David mightily. Chapter 16, verse 13 of 1 Samuel. So much so that that little boy, teenager, took on bears after that moment, took on lions after that moment, and took on Goliath after that moment. Because the Spirit of God, who anointed him for a purpose, came and gave him the power to live it out. To live it out. The same thing filled Gideon and Samuel and Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel. Every time God calls a man, he gives him the power for that purpose. So let's backtrack. So now Jesus is with the apostles. It's the same moment. He says, guys, I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to leave this comforter, this Spirit of God that's been on me. He's going to come. He's been with you. He's going to be in you, and he's going to come upon you. He's been with you all this while, and you've seen him on me and with me, but he's going to be in you. John 20, 20, he breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in them. And then he says, but wait, you need the power before you go. Just like I had the Holy Spirit with me when I was born. I'm born of God. He is God. He has the Holy Spirit, 100% God, 100% man. He's walking as God in this world. But when he's 30 years old, the Holy Spirit comes upon him to do this 3.5-year ministry that God had ordained. Now, Jesus and all these men are a pattern of this promise. This is a pattern all through Scripture. God calls a person to a task, and he gives them the power to live it out. He calls them to a task for a purpose, gives them the power to live it out. Now, stay with me. What does it have to do with me? Because this pattern is for you as well. God has called you. The Holy Spirit comes upon these early followers, these first followers. He says, man, guys, signs are going to accompany those who believe. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to speak in new languages. They're going to overcome dangerous obstacles. They're going to heal the sick. And he says, you need this. And there's a moment in Acts chapter 4 where these young men and young ladies are like, I don't think we can do it. And they're trying to put us in jail. They're trying to kill us. They're just going to kill Stephen and James here in a minute. And we just don't understand how we're going to do it. And he says, God, you hear their threats. You see what they're wanting to do. And they pray in Acts chapter 4, but Lord, fill us. Lord, stretch out your hand to do what only you can do. But as for us, God, we're going to keep speaking the word of God with boldness. The Bible says in Acts 4, the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is the same group that had it in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes upon them again and fills them again for a new season, for a new power to get through this next moment. A power for a purpose. It says the Holy Spirit came in the room. The whole house where they were seated was shaken. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now you have to ask yourself today, has Jesus' purpose been accomplished in the world? Has it been accomplished? Is the mission over? And if there still exists a purpose, will he not also give the power to live it out? Why don't we, as much as the early church, need even more so the power of God to finish this commission? Maybe it's perhaps that we aren't living in his purpose, that we've got all of our dreams, we've got all of our ambitions, we've got all the things that we want to do in this life before we get done. We've got all the tools of the trade, we've got polished pastors and great teams, and we've got great programs to do it all. And so we haven't really needed it. How are we going to overcome temptation and trials and tribulations and have peace and joy? How will we keep preaching boldly when evil men and governments tell us to shut up and sit down? How are we going to fight spiritual enemies we cannot see if we don't have the strength of his might that Ephesians tells us to have? And how are we have any hope of fulfilling his kingdom purpose for our life if we neglect his power that he's given to live it out? You see, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. That God was doing something in that audience as Paul spoke. It wasn't trusting in his own ability. Wasn't even trusting in good teaching, good theology, good programs, good performance, good rhetoric. It's that the Holy Spirit came on a people who are hungry, who are open to receiving him. Conviction swept upon them. God confirmed the words that Paul spoke with signs and wonders, with power. Paul said when he was reaching the end of his journey, in Romans 15, verse 8, he says, of the Gentiles that he had seen come to Christ, he says, they were convinced, not by me, by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Lycrum. It's this way. How did he present the gospel? With the power of the Holy Spirit moving on men to give them a revelation of God's purpose for their life, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to confirm God's purpose. I want you just to think and pause for a minute as we wrap this up. Why are we lacking so much today in the American church? What we see, if you don't know, there's revival breaking out all over the world. People coming to faith by hundreds, by thousands. In the last decade, millions coming to Christ, while America is just kind of slow fading it out. Why are we lacking so much of the zeal that we see in Africa? Man, there are, I don't know if you know, but in the last decade, this decade of harvest, there have been crusades of, I'm talking one crusade where a million people could be in one place listening to the gospel. And people are going out and just planting churches and planting churches. There's an underground church in China that are, I mean, they're small. Our mega churches are small compared to these underground church networks in Russia and in China and India. Talking with a pastor just this week from India, and he says, man, people burnt down one of my pastor's churches and showed me pictures of the pastor and some people bloodied and bruised for having a church and standing up for Jesus Christ. And they're willing to keep on doing it. See, maybe we're lacking today, number one, a true revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is, and how much he's worth of our life. And number two, maybe we're not waiting for this power, and maybe we're not believing for it. We've trusted in programs and pastors to do it. But the key to a church's success is not in pastors, it's not in programs, it's not in buildings, it's not in budgets. It's in a people who are willing to live out God's purpose and do it by His power. And why does God do it this way? Why does God not want us to rely on your pastor's speaking ability? Why does God not want you to rely on how good your worship team is? Why does God not want you to rely on how awesome our kids' team is, and they are awesome? Why does He not want you to rely on how cool our logos and signage and our media is? Because if we do, we might start to think that we got this, that we're saved by our own works. Paul says, man, I came with fear and trembling, not wanting you to figure out that it was you. I didn't want you to think it was me. I didn't want you to think that you could do this on your own, that you have to receive this purpose by a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then when you walk this life out called Christianity, you got to do it by Him and His power. Jesus says, you, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. I want us to be really, really honest. I had a whole nother message prepared for today and planned out for the next few weeks. And God stopped me middle of the week, rewrote the message. He says, I want you to talk about power. Because I think we unknowingly in the American church rely on man more than we even have a concept of. And it's coming back to humble dependency, utter dependency. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I get to that place? It's like Paul, you and I have got to come back to the cross and get broken. Jesus, he said, I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's coming back to a place of utter desperation and brokenness for Him, finding yourself at that cross with Him till you die with Christ and you leave yourself there and you are no more. And if you want to get past that place, you have got to pick up your cross and die daily with Christ to leave your life behind and see that He is worthy, that He alone is King of Kings and He alone is Lord of Lords, and you're not Lord of your life anymore and you're not King of your life anymore. You're not trusting in pastors and programs to get you to heaven. You're not trusting in your own self-works and your own goodness. You died that day with Christ. And every day you live in resurrection power. And that power is not your power, it's His power on the inside living in you. It has to be Him on the inside of you every single day. And you can join a denomination and a church, I don't care. But you better be living with Holy Spirit power on the inside of you if you have any hope to live this purpose called Christianity out. Right. It is only done by dying with Christ in death and living to resurrection power. And that power is in an empty tomb and it's in an upper room. Amen. It's in an empty tomb and it's in an upper room. There is Holy Spirit energy, supernatural power, that even in a moment, listen, mom and dad, when you're wearing out, you don't know how to get through the next day, there's Holy Spirit power available for you to be the Christian mom and dad He's called you to be. You're going through a hard time, hard season, you're wearing out. Paul says, I wear out for this. But it's worth it because there's Holy Spirit energy, Holy Spirit dynamic energy on the inside of me. And it continues to go on. Listen, this is not a one-time thing. You don't just get saved and go live the rest of it on your own. It is a dying daily and a living daily. And I need more of His power today than I needed yesterday. The more I die with Him, the more I see I've got to live with Him. And so God, right now, I'm just going to ask you, go ahead, Jimmy, up there. I want you to take a moment, just every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to be honest and respond. Maybe today we are weak and wearing out is that we have been unknowingly living by our own power. And maybe today it's just taking a moment of repentance, coming back to that place and getting a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, dying of some self-works, dying of some self-effort, dying of thinking that you're helping God out in any way, and just coming back to that simple childlike moment where I am no longer enough. And I am tired of living this life apart from His strength. You have ownership of your life today. You need to lay it down in Jesus' name. If there's any part of your life you are still in control of, right now, all across this room, make this moment, lay it down. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, confess Him. He's good. He's faithful. He will forgive you of your sins. In this moment, you can say, Jesus, I repent. I believe in who you are. I ask you to save me. Come into my heart. I surrender to your lordship. And I repent of my sin. I turn from owning my own life. And I surrender to your purpose for my life. In a moment, you don't know how